Okay, let's go to the word for today. Can we stand up with our Bibles? Just honor the word. As we pick our text from Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. If you are there, I will read from verse 23 and I will read it up to verse 26. 23 to 26, Luke chapter 9. Can we be on our feet to honor the word for today? And it says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How often? On Sunday? On Friday? How often? Daily. And follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged? Another version, another narration says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. And we're looking at a topic as we continue in our consecration that I just titled Counting the Cost. Counting the Cost. Counting the Cost. Counting the Cost. And from this narration, this is from the Lord Jesus Christ himself to his disciples. We get a lead there. Counting the cost. Anything, if you are going to own, possess anything, that thing, hallelujah, has a cost attached to it. It's a normal principle. It's a normal fact. It's a fact. Anything at all that you will own has a price tag attached to it. There's a price to pay to be able to own it. And the value of that thing is determined by the price. It's true. Do you know that there are some suits that you wear, men wear, that, you know, some for 12,000 naira. Eh? Victor, is it true? Is it true? 12,000. How this one wait then they wear for here? There's one for 12,000. Even Pastor Thomas, I think he brought one for, there's one for 8,000, 10,000, 6,000, sir. There's suit for 6,000. But do you know that there's another suit for 150,000 naira? Eh? There's a suit for 150,000 naira. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, see, I am giving you this example. I want you to give spiritual meaning to what I am saying. That there is a suit for 8,000 naira. And there is a suit. They are called suits. Amen. They are called suits. But there is another one for 150,000 naira. Two groups of people in the book of Revelation that make heaven. Eh? Suit, na suit, Abi. Eh? Everybody they wear suit, Abi. Eh? Everybody go heaven, Abi. Everybody go heaven. There is a dress and identification of people. All of them are wearing white. But when the Spirit wanted to describe the type of white to differentiate the two different groups, There is a group that is ordinary white. Another one is a what? Linen. It's a linen, fine linen. It's described as fine linen. And those that wear the fine linen, they are the bride. Oh, suit now, suit. But there is a tag, a price tag. Why? Because the material for 150,000 naira suit is different from the material for the 8 or 10,000 naira suit. And the time taken to design the 150,000 naira suit is different from the time taken to make just ordinary 10,000 naira. Oh, the value. Hallelujah. The price determines the value of that item. You have to catch that. Hallelujah. And why will somebody spend 150,000 naira when he can spend only 10,000 naira and they wear suit? Then you will understand why will somebody just allow himself, herself to just be a church goer and be called a Christian and don't touch my cloth, don't touch my dress, don't touch my life, let me just go. But another one, we say, lie, I have decided and have made up my mind. I will serve the Lord. And then, if she is as beautiful as you are, but she does not wear earring, she does not paint her face, she does not look, it is because what she's going for, the price, the value for what she's going for, is different from the value of what you are going for. The price determines it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the need for that very thing you are looking for, the need is what determines the sacrifice that you offer to get it. When you catch the need for that thing, hallelujah, I need it. Every businessman knows that appearance matters in negotiating business. Do you understand? Every businessman knows that if you are going to, you know, negotiate a business anywhere, you can't be talking of a multi-million naira business. Somebody wants to commit 10 million, 20 million naira to you, and then you appear to him, and then he assesses you and does not see anything reflecting that you have ever seen 100,000 naira in your life. The guy will say, please go back, we shall get back to you. Yes, now. That's why those who are smart, they will even borrow handsets. And they will make sure they tell somebody, call me at so-so time, so that when they will answer, the person will see the value of the handset they are holding. He will borrow his friend's jeep. He will borrow it. He doesn't have it. He's packaging himself. Yeah, because he wants to give value to himself. Hallelujah. If he doesn't have it, he will go and borrow suit, not coat. You understand what I mean? There is coat and there is suit. I hope you understand what I mean. Eh? And then you will make sure you will put an expensive perfume. The perfume will announce his presence before he arrives. When he comes like this, the person is bamboozled. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You may never have seen 1 million naira in your life, but they will commit 10 million naira and say, take and go and do it. Why? You package yourself. Because you need it, you went all the way to position yourself to get it. That is the cost we are talking about. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You need it. Then, because you need it, there is a sacrifice you will make to be able to get it. That's my emphasis. Even God, see what it cost him. For God so loved the world. That is where you begin to think. He so loved the world. Hallelujah. That, what did he do?
He offered a sacrifice to be able to get those he loved from the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. He so loved the world. Amen. How many people so wish to be in heaven today? Can I see your hand up? You so wish to be in heaven. Brethren, if you so wish to be in heaven, then there is a sacrifice you will make. That sacrifice is the cost. No good thing comes free. Amen. Amen. If you are going to marry, brother, a true woman of virtue, you will not get her freely. That's why the Bible says, he that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. That means, it didn't say he that findeth a woman. There are women everywhere, but not every woman is a wife material. Oh, glory be to God. It's not every woman is a wife material. Before you can get a wife, you will find. And because you found what you are looking for, that is why you are ready to pay anything to have her. And you are ready to pay anything to keep her. That's the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Forget these sermons that preachers preach to make it look as if, in the interpretation of grace, as if grace is such that you have no part again to play in it after you have come in. No. Salvation is not like that. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You say you love God. You say you love God. To what extent can you go to keep a relationship with God? To what extent can you go to maintain a relationship with Him? He tested it with Abraham. One day, he wanted to test Abraham's love for him. Every time he comes down, he always visits Abraham. He called Abraham his friend. But before you can be a friend to somebody, there must be something you are doing that sustains the friendship. Am I speaking to somebody? There is something you do, two of you, where you say, I'm your friend. There is something. Look, any relationship that is one-sided, it does not last. It doesn't last. It doesn't last. When you need something, you come. I give you. When you have, you hide from me. Now lie, no be friendship be that. Do you understand? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, God wanted to test Abraham to see to what extent you can go to maintain this relationship between you and me. And he told him, a child that he waited for how many years? 90 years. Even after the prophecy came forth from God himself, he still waited for 25 years before his wife took him. He was already 100 years before his wife gave birth. Now he's getting older and older. That boy was certainly over 30 years old. When suddenly, God said, Abraham, come now. Take thy child. And he qualified it, thine only child. And go, I will show you where you will sacrifice. God did not tell him the exact place. He said, just go, I will show you where. Amen. I don't know whether somebody will catch what I'm saying. The way they look at me, people say, you don't understand what it is. See, your only child. The only child you have. Eh? If that woman, do you know, if that woman had known where Abraham they carried that child go? Hey, hallelujah. After 20 years, I can't get one. They come and say, make a carry him. One prophet here come say, God said the Lord, carry your only child. before he finished that prophecy, if your teeth still remain correct, then God is talking to you.
Abraham, thy only child, and see what God did. God made sure that it was not 1 hour journey.
God made sure it was 3 days journey to give him time to think of the implication of his action. Because Satan will have come by his side.
You sure say it was God that spoke?
Eh? If they go kill now, if they kill, they go kill him. So all the promises of God concerning you will not come to pass. God is saying in thy seed. He said it's not Ishmael, it's in this one. The promise for you is coming. You dey go. You dey go. You not go turn back. God is not a wicked God, though. God is not a wicked God, though. He does not bless you and take it back, oh. Hey, it's devil that talk, oh. Hey, think again, oh. Think again, oh. Just imagine what will have been going on in the mind of that old man. And he was over 100 years. So that journey for 3 days was not even easy. He was walking and moving an old man over 100 years. What are you going to do? Hallelujah. To sacrifice that boy. Why was he able to do that? Why? Abraham so loved God that not even his son can he spare if God wants him.
Amen. Abraham's blessings are mine.
Sing now.
Abraham. I am blessed in the
name.
Abraham's blessings are mine.
I know where your mind is when you sing that type of song. Abraham's blessings are mine. But what Abraham did for those blessings to flow, can you do it?
He did something for those blessings to flow.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the cost. That is the cost I'm talking about. Philippians chapter 2. Concerning the Lord Jesus himself. This is how the Bible puts it. Hallelujah. This is how the Bible put it. Hebrew. Hebrew chapter 12. Now, if you are there in Hebrew chapter 12, this is the way he put it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Are we there? He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So he's our example. Who? For the joy that was set before him. For the joy. There is a joy that was ahead of him. That he saw. That he knew. That he caught revelation of. What did he do? He endured the cross. Despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The price that you pay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The value of anything you are looking for is defined in the price. The price tag. The price you pay. He saw himself sitting down on the right hand of the Father. He saw himself coming to reign as the King of Kings. Hallelujah. If he can endure. And for the joy that was ahead. For the joy that was set before him. He endured every reproach and shame. What is propelling your Christian stand? Your stand as a Christian. It's a revelation of what is ahead. Hallelujah. When the songwriter says, you may take the whole world, but give me Jesus. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Before you say that, you may take the whole world, there's a reason. There's a reason. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, that is why Jesus Christ was asking, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And he made that statement when Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And when he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. And he said, upon this rock, amen, will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, church. I read a little pamphlet. It's a Brother Victor around. Big Victor, you gave me something written by that imposter. It's an imposter, impersonator in Shomolu. A message he preached, and he was trying to interpret that statement that upon this rock will I build my church. He said, upon the rock of revealed truth. Trying to bamboozle his listeners and his members there that there is a revealed truth. And I heard that from one of the ardent ministers, followers of him from Port Harcourt. I had cause to call him in December. No, January. They hate me with perfect hatred. Anytime I want to find trouble, I will call them. Amen. Hallelujah. And I had to tell him something. Church, this is very important. It's a point I want to bring out here. I first sent him a text. I say, dear brother, my brother, Enoch. No. I started by saying, you will cease being my brother the day you stop praying in the name of Jesus. Therefore, Happy New Year, brother Enoch. Then he replied me back. Then we talked to ourselves. There's matter, I phone up. I started small. Since he replied, maybe he go pick my call. Amen. Because once you are a follower of that man, if you don't believe him to be what he says he is, none of their members talks to you. They don't greet you. Even if you are their mama, they put you at arm's length. Why? He said, we don't see eye to eye. We are not in the same truth. That is not Christianity. Because Jesus Christ said, you don't light a candle and put it under a table. If it is a light, you put it everywhere for it to shine, for everybody to see. Why are you cutting off some people if you truly have something attractive? Well, why I mentioned that incident is, I said that it is Jesus Christ that linked me and you. I said, and John Ministry can never cut me from you. He said, well, to start with, it is on the basis of truth that we got to know one another. And so truth can separate. And I replied him. I said, yes, but truth has a relative terminology. What is truth to you may be error to me. And what is truth to me may be error to you. I said, so when you say truth, I said, be careful how you use it. I said, because it is somebody that is standing for truth that prams himself with a bomb and goes and commits suicide bombing, standing for truth. That's what I told him. So when you say that upon this the rock of revealed truth, I know where he's going to. That is not the meaning of that. It's not the rock of revealed truth. It's the rock of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That is it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. He went further. This is the, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Unless you catch this revelation of who Jesus Christ is, he said, it is that revelation that determines the type of Christian that you are. That's why Apostle Paul is saying, we look unto Jesus, not unto any man. He is the author and finisher of our faith. We are destined, Romans 8:29, to be conformed. We are destined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And if you know who Jesus Christ is, your Christian life will be better than what it is now. So many of us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Antichrists. But let's talk to ourselves this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord for the joy that is set before him. I gave you the example of Abraham. And I'll give you the example of Jesus Christ, the price he paid. Amen. No, I even started by giving the example of God himself. Then Jesus Christ. Then Abraham. Let me add Paul. Philippians chapter 3. Paul. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3. If you are with me, I read from verse 7. This is Apostle Paul. The foundation of our faith. The wise master builder. Amen. When they tried those, according to which church age was that? Who said they were apostles? Amen. And they tried them and found out that they were liars. What did they use to try to know whether this is a true apostle or not? It was Paul. The teachings of Paul. Oh, glory be to God. Because we reduce it to Paul, because if you say it's Jesus, okay, you can say Jesus was, you know, God man. So he had a grace that many of us here can never have. But Paul was a human being like you and me. And he laid down the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says so. Hallelujah. No other foundation can anyone lay. He said, take heed how you build upon that foundation. And in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20 says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Jesus Christ himself be the chief cornerstone. Now see a perfect example here. Verse 7. Philippians chapter 3. Let me read it from verse 7. But what things we are gained to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see those things which are gained. Let's go back a little bit. Hallelujah. From verse 4. Those things that we are gained to him. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he has whereof, he might trust in the flesh. I more. See his qualification. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he was so zealous that he was persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. Can you see his credentials? He was talking to those religious Jews who think that his frustration that is making him to be preaching what he was preaching. And verse 7, he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. For who? For who? He counted the loss so that he will have Christ. Verse 8, yeah, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Can you see it? Why did he count them lost, threw all of them away? For the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but what? Dung, there is, allow me to use the word, the shit. That I may win Christ. What of you, brother, sister? What are you doing to be able to win Christ? His grace, grace. Your own grace, that different from Apostle Paul. What has your Christianity cost you? Christ has cost. You have not started a Christian race, because every one of us must have a testimony of what your decision to follow Christ cost you. Am I talking to somebody? How many people am I talking to? The rest, what happened? You don't have ear to hear. Okay, wait now. When your own time comes, you will know. Everyone that will truly come to Christ, I want it to sink very well. And I'm saying this because salvation has been misplaced and misrepresented by blind, particularly Pentecostal preachers. The Lord is good. Yes, he is good. But balance it. He is also a consuming fire. The Lord is good. He's good. But balance it. About the same Bible says, that all that shall live godly in Christ shall do what? They shall suffer persecution. Yes, Christianity is costly. I'm saying this for somebody hearing me for the first time. You know, this is a consecration period. Hallelujah. I read that verse 8 again. Yeah, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness. Don't come to Christ by your own terms. Don't. Don't come to Christ and dictate how you want to come to him. Amen. Hallelujah. You cannot say you welcome somebody. Say you are welcome. You are welcome into my house. You are welcome into my house. And still you tell him, don't open the fridge. Don't enter kitchen. Don't enter this place. Don't enter here. You have not welcomed him. You can't say, Jesus, take over my life. And you say, but don't go to this area. Don't go to this area. That is the nature of Christianity of these days. You are not honest enough to see something in the scripture or hear something by the voice of God that expects the expectation of the Spirit from you and be humble enough to say, ha! Hey! So God doesn't like this. Father, forgive me. I will not do it again. I didn't know before. But instead, you will find a way of explaining it away. It is not he that will it. No, he that run it. You will explain it away. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. The righteous fallen 7 times. He will surely rise again. Don't worry. I will rise again. Don't worry. When I just see, I will rise again. Hallelujah. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, verse 9, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may. You see? Amen. I have seen preachers. Watch them on television. Listen to some of their tapes. These denominational preachers who will preach and they will start quoting what Apostle Paul from verse 10. Instead of them to start quoting from verse 7. Because verse 10 will not make meaning to you until you start reading it from verse 7. Until you start reading the things that he put away. He put all his worldly achievements away. So that then you cannot come to verse 10. He put all those away that I may know him. That is how you should read that place. Don't just come and kneel down as if you are asking God, Father, I want to know you. Father, I want to know you. Father, I want to know you. If you are going to know him, there is a sacrifice you will pay to be able to know him. And if you have known him, there is a sacrifice you will pay as evidence that you have known him. I'm speaking grammar now. It's true. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul was a reverend doctor. Apostle Paul attended the school of Gamaliel, his school of theology. Apostle Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin Council, the highest Christian association of Israel, the highest decision body making. He was a member. There were those to decide. I read in the paper, Christian association of somewhere in one of the states in the east, that they have decided that they will go around any church that is not registered, they will close it down. I read it in the paper and I said, then don't start. Then don't start. Somebody has arrogated himself the position to determine which one you should worship God. If you are holding Bible, you're going to, and if you are not a member, and if you are a member, and all those decision making, Apostle Paul was there. But when he came in touch with this Jesus, hallelujah, all those worldly achievements, what did he do? He put them all away. But today, people are struggling, Christians, to acquire titles. Where do you have reverend, a reverend doctor? Archbishop. Senior apostle. Right reverend. General overseer. General superintendent, prelate and primate. His holiness, his grace. You see? The Holy See. The Holy See. Papa. Roma. Papa Roma. You see the difference? You see where you can know whether somebody is a false preacher, false believer or not. Apostle Paul. It's our reference point. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm reading on. I never finish. Which verse am I? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. and the fellowship of his sufferings. Can you see? What did he say?
Hey, I hope we have time for me to say what I want to say today.
Every line there means something to meditate on. See, he said, and the power of his resurrection. Grave could not hold him captive. Listen, this is what Apostle Paul is saying there. Grave could not hold him captive. What is it that was in this man that made him to resurrect? That grave could not hold him captive. He took time to know it. You have to catch that, brethren. We're talking serious business now. If I stand here now and I say, like Papa will come and say, that before this year ends, all of you are going to be millionaires. You will have come here and sold here several times already. Amen. The amen cannot be said, answer sitting down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because that type of sermon affects only the flesh. So the flesh will be excited. But it does not affect the soul. What I'm saying now, my target is your soul. My target is your soul. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul spoke about godly sorrow that worketh repentance. And a broken heart, you can't be excited over it. So I'm not expecting you to stand up. And so you should feel too heavy to stand up. If you are receiving the message I'm preaching. So I'm not telling you that you should come and sow. No. If you are stood up to come and sow, I will say, I never hit and reach yet. You never reach. Hey, I'm going to think, how go talk him? 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We held one camp meeting. And then we were, enjoying ourselves. Come and see crowd everywhere. Hey, people. Hey, when I finish like this, people go to sow. People go to sow. Hi, pastor. Yeah, tell them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I waited till the last day of the camp. Then I preached a message. I titled, Hell is Real. Who was here at that time? Hell is real. Which year was that? 2004. Thank you. It is that day. Some people that have never cried in their life, they were at the altar crying with tears. Because I was playing the tape of that discovery by science, hallelujah, in Siberia, in Russia, where God allowed scientists to hear voices of people who were in torment, and it was recorded. I played it here. Hell is real, oh! Even today, it's still real. And people came crying, weeping. People were weeping. There were more people weeping in the congregation than those who even came to the altar. That is the message that touches your soul. Your soul is my target today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death. Be made conformable. Hallelujah. Unto his death. And he continued, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Hey. That means he also caught the revelation of the resurrection that is coming. And he lined it up for us. In a moment, we'll be changed in a twinkle of an eye. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, which are alive, somebody who had that type of revelation, would he like to be part of that resurrection? Oh, glory be to God. And you now, because some preachers, they are only copy typists. the only megaphone re-echoing what somebody else has spoken, they themselves are not part of that revelation they are speaking. I will not stand and preach that hell is real and not myself be seen as doing everything not to go to that hell. If not, I'll be a false witness. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained with all the anointing that man had, with all the revelation he had. He's still saying that he never attained anything yet. Either we're already perfect. He has never seen himself as already perfect. But I follow after him that I may apprehend, that is understand, grasp that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Because there is a reason why God called him. There's a reason why God gives you that anointing, that grace. And there's a reason why God has granted us this much understanding of what salvation is. And that is what his prayer is, that he may understand this reason. Verse 13. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What does he do? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forget your past and focus on your future. Our future is heaven. This world is not my home. He said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody say prize. Prize there is the value of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a prize attached to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a prize. Prize. Prize here is the reward. I'm sorry. Please correct that. Correct that. It's not P-R-I-C-E. That is value. But prize, P-R-I-Z-E. Prize, that is a reward. Because he knew there was a reward that is attached to that calling. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Apostle Paul is saying, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this is his advice, verse 16. Nevertheless, we are to, we have already attained, whatever level we have already attained, we have already achieved, he said, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, verse 17. Be followers together of me. You see? And mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is what? Destruction. Whose God is who? Their belly. And whose glory is in their shame. What do they do? Who mind earthly things. They mind earthly things. They mind earthly things. Say, mark them. Mark them. And I spoke during the vigil. The company you keep matters. No, during the our group here that we met here yesterday, consecration to break our fast. Yes, yesterday. I was telling yesterday evening that when the Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners, because Apostle Paul was talking about the sin that doth easily beset you. And I said one of the reasons is the kind of company you keep. Anybody that will not help your spiritual life, stop such attachments, no matter the size of his Bible. No matter the degree of his anointing, if there is nothing in him that can make you to be a better Christian, stay away from him. Stay away from her. Part of the price you pay for the high calling that we have is cutting off certain people. Those people that disturb your spiritual progress. And I have to say this at this juncture. Hallelujah. They mind earthly things. One of them in the Bible was Demas. And so many Demases have passed through this church. So many Demases are still in this church. So be careful. It's true. You will hear somebody here telling, particularly those of us that have offered to serve God, when has your acceptability with God be determined by the things you acquire on earth? You have a house, a mansion, or houses. You ride this type of car. You ride this type of car. You ride this type of car. And I used to say something. Amen. Those of us who have traveled outside the country before, this mentality is only in Africa. I'm telling you, this mentality is only in Africa. All these wonderful, expensive phones that they send to Nigeria and Africa, they don't sell in the advanced countries. What that man is looking for that owns a handset is that he's able to communicate with it. Amen. Not the type that Pastor Moses went and bought one phone. What did they take hand like this? Chaka? They touch him. Eh? Touch. Go touch. Touch. Eh? Amen. Hallelujah. He get camera. It is full time. What do you call it? Computer. Very expensive. Because they were pushing me. I can't take the using kind of phone. And I think so. I thought something was wrong. I said, but are they here now? So they disturb me. Now they are going to use this kind of phone. They disgrace us. Now you're going to use this kind of phone. That is the kind of influence we ride under. You are never yourself. All the life you live a life influenced by other people. You cannot influence others. It's always others influencing you. Why don't you stand on what you believe? Praise the Lord. So I carry money, go computer village, go buy one. Till today, apart from text and phone call, I don't know any other function on that phone. Yes, now. There was a miracle that was about to take place. They rushed one boy that was having a very rotten leg. Very pathetic case. So the camera people, they were not around. They brought the person to my office. I received a ministration that God was going to heal the person. I said they should bring camera. No camera. So I remember saying my phone get, hey, Jerry, you were there that day. Hey, I said, how did they use this phone? Snap. Oh, hey. I call my secretary. I beg, take. Who used on that? They say, Jerry, now you have been who? Amaka? Amaka eventually discover how to use it. Amen. This phone disgraced me when I went to France. I go buy their SIM card, make I take a call. Then, I didn't know how to load. So, because there is voice, it will tell you what to do on voice. So when I call finish, to bring back the keypad, I know Sammy. So that we punch the number. Hey, I say, hey. I say, this people go, no. I say, well, I'm a tourist. Amen. So at the end, I say, so where did I spend all this money for now? That is exactly the problem with us. I traveled and I went in Europe there. I said 90% of the cars I saw. Now these small cars, small. You will hardly see Mercedes S-Class passing. You will hardly see, what do you call it, a BMW X something. You will hardly see small cars. They are looking for small enough that they can find place and park. Just to go to their work and come back. For Africa here. So that everybody will say you have arrived. You will go and buy motor. None of them you are producing. No. Influence. So that people will say that
That is the only reason.
So that people will say,
so that I will belong. So that they go not say, I don't reach, I don't arrive. Say they say, I no go make come. I don't make come now. What did I go use?
And most of it, when you do that one finish, which will leave you alone? All this why? Now that time now go start with you. Go carry trouble for yourself. Praise the Lord. Go and buy car that you cannot even, you they drive, they look left, right. You know, whether they going to thief, they follow you. I mean, I will they follow you. All influence. It's wrong. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you watch it. Watch this type of people that come and meet you and begin to make you look like a failure despite your anointing. No! What I will be, God has determined it. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. And there is time for everything. I said there is time for everything. And stop comparing yourself with anybody. I told you people, those of you who were here yesterday, I said, stop comparing yourself with anybody. Every man shall give account of himself. It means God is dealing with you as an individual. Hallelujah. And the evidence that my own is coming is your own testimony that you are given now. Because our God is not a partial God. If he did it for you, he will do my own too. I rest on it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because when one brother was wedding here one day, one coordinator was wedding. Brother Charles had not gotten any girlfriend. But he looked at him and shouted. He said, no condition is permanent. And I heard it. I turned and looked. I saw him. I said, Brother Charles, you are correct. Your own time is coming. Did his own time not come? Did his time, own time not come? Praise the Lord. He didn't rush to go and pick any girl because his friends were getting married. At the appropriate time, what did you call that girl? What did you say? You said something concerning that girl.
Angel, Mangel. She's Mangel.
Charles said the best thing that has ever happened to him is that his wife. You say what?
Honestly speaking.
Praise the Lord. Don't let anybody push you into something. They'll push you to go and start ministry. You don't know they are pushing you to go and suffer. It's when you go out there, you know there's a wilderness out there. Everybody cannot be a pastor. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, mark them. They are enemies of the cross. When the songwriter said, when I survey the wondrous cross. When you survey the wondrous cross, what did you see there? The first thing you see there is the salvation of your soul on the cross of Calvary. You have to do everything to make sure you gain that salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But my emphasis is on counting the costs for your decision. Let's look at another example in Matthew chapter 19. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter number 19. And I will read it from Amen. From verse 16. About the rich young ruler. I love that story so much. And behold, verse 16, Matthew 19. Behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, you will know whether that decision was a sincere decision or not. Whether he meant it or not. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. Verse 18. He said unto him, which one, which commandment? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Very easy, isn't it? The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. From my youth up. What lack I yet? Because thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Every moralist can keep it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Every moralist can keep it. So it's very easy to keep the Ten Commandments. Very, very easy. And that is what the Pharisees were priding themselves over. That they are able to keep that law. Therefore, they think they are justified before God. But it's more than that. Because what he's looking for is eternal life. Then Christ looked at him. Let's read on. Verse 21. Jesus said unto him, okay, you are past stage one. If thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. And give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Hey. 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 But that's the problem most of us have. When they first come to this church and they see the grace of God in this church, hey, I will make this church my church. I don't say church there like this. Oh, see as God they move. Amen. Then wait first until the day Pastor Moses open up. Until the day you hear us talking about earring, about the hair, about your dress, and about those things that mean so much, so much, so much, so much. A sister called from abroad and said that she needed her deliverance. She needed her deliverance. She followed all. She dropped, you know, what do you call it? Trouser. She dropped all these things. According to her testimony, she had been experiencing this eating in the dream and this demon husband and things like that. She had gone everywhere for deliverance. And she said, for the trouser, she left it. But she said, she kept looking, said, ah, but this jewelries, he said, some of them are very expensive. She was saying that, ah, God, you'll understand, though. She said she called me. I prayed the prayer of deliverance for her on the phone. And then the thing refused to go. But then she would be hearing testimony during services. And she was busy murmuring, God, why are you taking those people's own away? You're not taking my own away. She said one day she was praying. He said, and a voice spoke to her. But you refused to obey. And the voice was telling her, you are still holding on to the jewelry. She said she started crying. Okay, God, forgive me. She packed everything, threw them away. She said, when she came back, she said, the voice spoke to her to put her hand in her mouth. Now that you have thrown it away. She said she put her finger in her mouth and induced vomit. She said all manner of things were vomited that day. He said from that day, all those demonic visitations stopped. Handwriting on the wall, it was a sign.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved.
Everything we receive from God is by faith.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
spirit of delusion.
They told you it doesn't matter. It matters.
There is yet another day that is His mercy is still available. The trials of a Christian. Christians face trials. The God of this world cannot be our God, because we are in this world but not of this world.
The rich young ruler, it is easy for him to stop chasing anybody's wife, love and everything. But when he say, sell all you have, because he remember how he take to get them.
Now, God is not telling you sell all you have. But it is his own test. Let me finish reading that, please. Let me finish reading it. Which verse am I? Hallelujah. Verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, yes, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The meaning of that statement, hallelujah, yes, as a human being, it is not possible. But with God, that is, if God can step into the life of that rich man, he will count all those possessions as nothing. The difference is, you have not yet had an experience with God. That's why all these worldly things mean so much to you. Let's read the next verse. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said something. Then answered Peter and said unto him, verse 27. You see? Because Peter was now going to compare himself with that man. Okay, that man did not give out anything and he went. He said, we have forsaken all and followed thee. Oh yeah, what shall we have therefore? What is our reward? You know, I love Peter. Peter was not a fellow. Okay, this man came to you. You said he should sell all and follow you. He no agree. He go. Me, I be fisherman. I stop fishing just to follow you. I know what Matthew was doing. He was a tax collector. He stopped his job to follow you. All of us, they walk up and down. House, we no get. Place to sleep, we no get. Money, we no get. Even when it is time to pay our tax, the compulsory tax, money to pay. If not for that fish, when you do abracadabra, bring the money from his mouth. Now some for maybe for day jail, so we are now because we no fit pay. He said, now we have left even our wives before we see them. Once in a year now we see them. They walk out from bush to bush, trek, tired, they follow you. What will be our reward? Amen. Hallelujah. This is what he said, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily, that is assuredly certainty of certainty. Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me, including those of us sitting down here today, those of you listening to me now, in the regeneration, the age of regeneration is the 1,000 years reign of Christ. When the whole earth and we too will be regenerated. Amen. In the regeneration, when the Son of Man, Jesus himself, shall sit in the throne of his glory in Jerusalem. Amen. You also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Because there are others that are coming from other nations. When they come, he limited their own to Israel. Because there will be some that will come from Nigeria that will forsake all to follow him. In the regeneration, they will rule in the 36 states of Nigeria. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. That is sure, certain, it will happen. If you doubt it, if you are still alive, after we have gone and come back, you will come and remind me. Because you will be my subject at that time. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Have you ever observed this, for instance? There are people that, when we were all in secondary school, like the very ambitious kind of school, some of us went, the military school, where immediately from day one you enter, you are aspiring to be a commissioned officer. And while those who have that ambition, you know if you don't pass your exams, you can't get it. While we were there reading, some will be there, you know, playing truant everywhere, truants everywhere. They will not read. Then when they laugh those when they read, they study. Then from that certificate now, one day, you don't become one big man, general somewhere. Then you see him coming, say, "Now my mate, we were in school together." You don't remember me? We were mates. We were mates. We were. So which level are you now? Praise the Lord. That is how some people will look at us in the millennium. I don't know what I call Governor Moses. God must be a governor. Governor Moses, I was in bride. You were in bride, then why are you not putting on glorified body like me? Why are you still wearing this body? You know, make up say, now why throne judgment in the way for? Because when I was denying myself, you were enjoying yourself. That's the reason. When I was paying the price for the future, you were busy enjoying yourself here with the things of the present that decay. That is what Jesus Christ is saying here. I'm nailing it hard. This is our consecration period. Which verse am I? Verse 28 again. Verse 29. It says, and everyone, shout everyone. Everyone. Say it again, everyone. Everyone. Shout everyone. Everyone. That means there's no exception. Everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold that thing that you forsook for his name. 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you have nothing to lose. For anything you lose here, you are going to get it certainly, 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 certainly. That's why I say count the cost. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Luke chapter 14. That's the way he put it there again. And now in Luke chapter 14, verse 25. This is the way he put it. Luke 14, I'm reading from verse 25. And there went out, there went great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, this is the way he put it. Luke gave that same narration, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also. That means you have to deny yourself even some things that you yourself you like. He cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross, the fellowship of his suffering, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. Can I see how many disciples of Jesus Christ here? Well, you see the condition now. I didn't say everybody put up your hand. I say who is the disciple of Jesus Christ? We plenty of. Hey, if all this number of people go in the rapture, wow. So, bride will continue there now. Amen. Okay. Let's read on. Which verse? 28. Now, hear this thought. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desired conditions of peace. Because he knows he can't fight that battle. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he had, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good. But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. And he added, everybody, let's go. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You want to go to heaven. You want to go in the rapture. You want to be part of the bride of Jesus Christ. You want to live eternally with Christ. Sit down first before you start the journey. Before you say, I have decided to follow Jesus. Not turning back. Before you say that, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Before you say that, sit down first. And read the Bible and see the condition for following Jesus before you start the journey. If not, people will laugh at you. Because there are so many people that started this Christian race and they are back. And those unbelievers, you know what they are telling you. No, but you say, you don't drink beer. Sister, you don't join us. He said they will laugh at you because you did not count the cost before you started the journey. And that is the problem with so many people, so many of us in the Christian faith. We don't even know what it is to be in Christ. Just religion. You had a wonderful sermon. And for one reason or the other, you said, this Jesus, I will follow. But you did not know that there is a cost attached to it. Let me use one illustration and make this thing clear. We are going to the book of Ruth. Let's see two characters, Orpah and Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. Orpah. It's a very interesting story. That's after the book of Judges. You find Ruth. Am I correct? Before Samuel. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I read on? Maybe I close on this thought. I just close on this thought. I want everybody to read it. Open it. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. Amen. Okay. from verse 1 so that you catch the story very well. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, as the land of Israel. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took the wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. That is, she lost all in Moab. Then, verse 6, she rose with her two daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread in Israel. Wherefore, hallelujah, praise God. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now, see where I am going. And Naomi, amen, she left with Orpah and Ruth. They are going back to Israel. She is the mother-in-law. Because price has been paid. The bride price has been paid according to the culture. Amen. They both still belong to her. According to the culture. Now she's going back. But the next verse we're going to read, she was now going to give them the option to leave. To go back. Orpah. Somebody shout Orpah. In the fear. Shout Orpah. You go know Orpah after. Those who never read this story. Which verse? Verse 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and lifted up, and they lifted up their voice and wept. The two of them, they were crying. They love her so much. Why will you say we should go? So you are going to go. So you are going to leave us. They were crying. And they said unto her, verse 10, Alai, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. The two of them, they sang the same song. Alai, mama, we will follow you. We will follow you to your people. We will follow you. Verse 11. And Naomi said again, giving them every reason to go back, come again, my daughters. Will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, I should also bear sons. Will you tarry for them till they were grown? Will you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice again and wept again. I read verse 14. Listen, catch something here. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Listen. The two of them were crying, oh. So true, mama, you really mean we can go? But the cry of Orpah was different from the cry of Ruth. But they were all crying. Amen. The cry of Orpah was different from the cry of Ruth. But they were all crying. So anytime I see you crying at the altar, what are you crying for? What type of cry is that? One cry cried and cleft to her gum herself. Lie, lie, mama. The other one came and did what? And kissed. Amen. Hallelujah. I wrote my Bible there by that corner there where I kiss. I wrote there, I say French kiss. I don't know. You know, I've heard that terminology, French kiss, and I didn't know the meaning. Until recently, when I traveled to France, I observed something. Any family we went to meet, our friends, when we got there, they will hug you. Who will I hug now? Come, brother. They will hug you. Then they will hug you like this, and then they will do their mouth. Do you understand? You will hear. So, but that sound is supposed to be a contact between mouth and the skin to produce that sound. When you are removing your mouth, after you gum your mouth to, then you hear when you are separating. But this one didn't touch anything, but you are hearing. So when it happened, I say, okay, French kiss. That is, you know me now. It's a hypocritical kiss. Amen. That was the kind of kiss that Orpah kissed Naomi. And that's the same type of kiss in Matthew 26 that Judas kissed Jesus. Hallelujah. There was Judas, and there's another character, Peter. Amen. Hallelujah. It was a kiss of betrayal. Hey, master! Because he had told them the person I will kiss is not him, be the one we will define. Catch him fast. He just came immediately. Hey, master! And they hug. I am sure it was a French kiss. So that the enemies will hear the noise. Then they don't say to him. It was a case of betrayal. Orpah! Now, verse what? Hallelujah. Verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her, and she said, behold, was telling Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods, unto her people in Moab, and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Return thou unto their sister. Follow them now. Go. No problem. Go. Because I have told you, if you are going to follow me, there will be no marriage. You will stay without husband. You will stay. You will suffer. See, you follow me. See, nothing, you go suffer. So he gave them every reason. It's the same thing I'm saying here today. If you are going to have eternal life, there is sacrifice to pay. They sacrifice. He said, if you will follow me, he said, carry your cross.
Because he too carried a cross. You too, you will carry a cross. The fellowship of his sufferings.
Are you ready to carry your own? Okay. Praise the Lord. Hey, I wish I can finish this thing. Praise the Lord. No, I didn't know it could take so long like this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, whether now for God how, now for bush, anywhere now for market, under bridge, there I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Hey! That is the kind of decision every one of us must make if we want to follow Christ. And when he saw, she saw that she was steadfastly minded. No shaking about the decision she has made. Hallelujah. To go with her, then she left speaking unto her. But my emphasis here is that it simply means it was something else that was making upper to follow Naomi. It was by constraint. And many of us here, we are Christians, not because we love Christ, but constrained. We are constrained either because the enemy is after you, everybody is dying, your family, and you heard that you have to be in Christ to be saved. That's why you are a Christian today. Some of us, you have to follow and act like a Christian because where you are living, the person is a Christian. Where you are walking, the person is a Christian. If I don't follow him and do what they are doing, he will drive me from where I am. So the favor I get, I will not get it because I have to do some things. I have to identify. I have to by constraint. And anybody that is following the Lord Jesus Christ by constraint, a condition is making you to be a Christian today, it is a matter of time. Of decision that God will present it before every one of us to see reason to turn back. Yes, I have seen even sisters that God was using here mightily, but something happened. They wait. So they thought whatever was expecting that they're making them serve the way they serve. So the thing don't happen, they go back. The next thing you jump down at the bus stop wearing trousers again. What happened? You will not understand. When I just go on, you will not understand. Just leave me alone. After all, it's an individual affair. Not between me and God. You have gone back. You are upper. You were looking for a reason and God gave you a reason to go back. That's the truth. I see so many people that say, if I remain like this, I'm not going to get a husband. No. I know of young girls that have told me, Daddy, we are young now. Daddy, we are young now. He tied something. Daddy, we are young now. This is our time now. Daddy, we are young now. We are young now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Upper. Upper. So the decision, the reason that she was clinging to Naomi, the motive, the decision was, the reason was a wrong reason. And time proved it. And I want you to sincerely ask yourself, why are you a Christian today? Why are you a Christian today? And see Naomi, Ruth. She said, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And she was not reciting, say after me. It's say after me. That's why I say, all this prayer of salvation that pastors make, they should stop it. Say after me, Father, from today, you be my God. Who taught Ruth what to say? A decision. You are the best to express that decision. You are the best because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks what the heart has decided. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have a little nephew, my senior sister's son. The only son out of 7 children she has. Very stubborn. They have written him up off and everything. See, they are tired with him. Amen. One day, so they say, let me help now. I say, bring him to me. Send him to Lagos to stay with me. He's in his first year now in the university. And when he came, I was studying him. He stayed with me for some weeks. I never one day sat down with him to talk with him. I was just observing him. Small time, I will call the mother. I don't observe anything you are saying concerning this boy. Hey, no, you've not. He's pretending. So one day, I sat him down. Let us talk. Why are you troubling your parents? Why? This boy, to my shock, because they told me that they are Christians. Some of the children have converted went back to Islam. So he too, one day came and said he's now a Muslim. Then he bought, what do you call it? Yes, a sultan. To go, and then he will leave and go and stay in the mosque. I said, this is what your mother said. Now, the boy told me, he said, sir, he said, all these things they are accusing me of. Yes, I drank before. I was a drunkard, a smoker with hemp. I was terribly bad. But I have changed. But they will not believe me. If I go out and come back, they will call me and be smelling my mouth. I told him I have changed. Then he told me, am I living for them? If I change, it's not for my own good. Am I living a life to please them? He said, sir, I don't know when last I drank alcohol. He said, but since they say I did drink, he said, so when you come, you'll be pretending like, say you don't drink. Amen. He said, that is what he was doing. I said, but they say you change to Islam. He said, how can he change to Islam? He said, it's the same thing. He said they were disturbing, so he told them that he's now joining, that he warned them that he will join Boko Haram. He said, but is it true you dress and go and sit down in the mosque? He said, all that he is doing is to let them know that if he wants to remain bad, they can't stop him. Amen. So I had to tell him, now this is the effect. Please, don't let your mother die before her time. Change. Amen. Now let me just tell you this thing. But that boy recognized that what he was doing was for his own benefit. He was not going to live a life because they say, don't do it. He was not going to live a life for his parents. Okay, if he leaves his parents and he goes to school, do they know what he does in the school? So I caught something there. I caught something there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, going back to Oprah. When Oprah was going, she was going with her leg and not with her heart. And when Jesus Christ said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, that come there is not with your leg. It's with your heart. Accepting Jesus Christ is not walking to the altar. It is opening your heart for him to take over. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If your heart is not open and you come to the altar, you are just wasting your time there. But when your heart is open and you come in that estate to the altar, it is then he will give you the rest. That is the mistake so many of us make because of the spirit of religion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we know the decision that Ruth made. We know the decision now. The reward. That woman married the richest man in the land. What's his name? Boaz. If you go to chapter 4, the last 4-5 verses there. Hallelujah. He married the richest man, Boaz, and gave birth to a son. What is the name of the son? Obed. And Obed is the father of Jesse. And Jesse is the father of David. And go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. He says, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Hallelujah. What did he say? Is that how it's written there? Chapter 1 and verse 1. What did he say? The genealogy of Jesus Christ. The son of who? The son of who? Jesus is referred there. There's a reason why they call it that way. He said, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. And David is the son of Jesse. And Jesse is the son of Obed. And Obed is the son of Ruth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through that woman, Christ came forth. We never hear anything again about Oprah. She went back to the world. She went back to the world. Your history will not be written up because of wrong decision. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Until today, nothing is heard of her again. Oprah. But Ruth, till tomorrow, will continue. Hallelujah. When the Bible says, you save your life, you will have it. Do you understand it now? You lose your life, sorry. If you lose your life, you will have it. Amen. And if you save your life, you will lose it. You now understand the meaning. Amen. She gave up all that she had, and she had 100-fold later. Better husband than Melon, that was her husband. Or Shiloh, whoever was her husband among them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Better, better. Anything you lose for Christ's sake, be ready for 100-fold that thing that you lost. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And Luke chapter 21, and if you read, I think verse 18 of that verse or so, that spoke about, he said, let's read it. Luke chapter 21. I think that's the scripture. Hallelujah. But let me read it from verse 16. Amen. Sorry. Luke, okay, from verse 16, yes. He said, amen. And ye shall be betrayed. He was telling his disciples, see? And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. They lose their life by that. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But, that is the assurance, there shall not an hair of your head perish. That's the verse I'm looking for. Although they will kill you, although they will destroy your life, but he's saying here again, they said, not one hair of your head shall perish, because you are going to come back in a more glorious form. Anything you lose for Christ, you are going to have it. All the stress we are having because of our self-denials, when we shall come back in our glorified bodies. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll be better than we look now. That's why the next verse, verse 19, he said, in your patience possess ye your souls. Possess ye your souls. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shame. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. He says that, for I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed. Why? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ said, if you are ashamed to confess me before men, he said, I will also be ashamed to confess you before my Father. And Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every man, one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1 also. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hallelujah. And verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Amen. Because one of the reasons why we cannot make all the sacrifice, number one is shame. We are ashamed. What will people say concerning, hey, what do people go talk? Then go say. And another one is fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear. What if they throw me from outside this job? What if they throw me out of this house? What if I lose this relationship? What if fear? And he said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is why in Romans chapter 8, he said, what shall separate me from the love of God? In Romans chapter 8, hallelujah, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He knew too much. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Pentecostal preachers don't really reach this place. Oh. Nay, in all these things, that is, whether it is tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, another root, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the church will say, and the church will say, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Something certainly will make Apostle Paul to stand and make this type of decision. Because another scripture, he said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. He said, mouth cannot even describe what is awaiting those, what has been prepared for us. That means he saw something. Hallelujah. He saw something. Permit me to read that of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll close on that, please. Just Abraham too. Because it just reminds me of Abraham. Abraham is the same thing. It's the same thing, no? It's the same thing. Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. Verse 8. By faith, that is a revelation that Abraham had. Are we there? Oh, please catch it. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tents, tabernacles, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Why was he living in tents? Why was he living in tabernacles with his family? Verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Oh, glory be to God. He looked for a city. That means God gave him a revelation of a city that he said he was taking him to. And because he caught that revelation, he looked all around him in the land of Canaan. He didn't see any place that looked like what God showed him as the place that is prepared for him. Therefore, he was so mindful of that city. Hallelujah. He was so mindful of that city. Verse 20. Let's go to verse 20. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 14, sorry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Remember Lot's wife. She left, but she was mindful of the city that she was brought out from. You left the world, but all your mind is still in the fashions of the world. Remember Lot's wife. But now, verse 16, they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. You see? You sing here, the city where the lamp is the light, the city where there cometh no night, have a mansion over there, and went free from toils and cares. I am going where the lamp is the light. There is a country far beyond the starry sky. There is a city where there never come a night. If we are faithful, we shall go there by and by. Yes, sir. It's a city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, yes. It's a city where the Lamb is the light.
The city where the
cometh no night.
Have a mansion
over there. I went free from toils. Oh, I am going where the Lamb is the Lamb. When you ask Abraham, despite all this money that you have, why are you living in tent? They live like pilgrims. They confess that they were pilgrims. Any moment from now they will leave. So they live a life of the nomadics, just ready to move anytime. So they did not pitch their tent too deep. You see? So when they say move, they move. Why? There was a revelation they had. That revelation, if you catch it, you are dead to this world, I'm telling you, and it reflects in your perception of worldly things. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. You are dead. You are so heavenly minded. You are dead. Now, when I say you are dead, it's a condition of the heart. I didn't say you should not walk. After all, Abraham was not sleeping under the tree. He still made a cover for himself. But the lifestyle you live will be such that you are ready to move any day. That's why it's easy. When they say drop this, we drop it. Stop this, we stop it. It's so easy because you are too heavenly minded. I'm not saying you should be earthly useless. No, don't be so heavenly minded that you are earthly useless. I didn't say so. But there is a life that a Christian lives that portrays that you are a pilgrim here. You're on your way somewhere. I'm telling you. And especially we that are ministers that may be hearing me today, or may be hearing this tape anywhere, we are most guilty of that. False witnesses are holding the pulpits. Saying one thing and doing another. Any man that starts any ministry, the first thing he wants to have is to build his own house. They build their own house. I know a minister in the entire message that came to me for counseling. I was telling me frustration all over, While he stood there, he was talking to me. He was with two of his deacons in my office. I received the ministration of the reason of his problem. So I just told him, I said, go, I will call you later. There's something I will tell you. I will tell you later. And when he got home, he called me in the night. I said, brother, where is your church? You made money within this period. He said, yes. You built a house. He told me, yes. I said, the Lord said, the money he gave you was to have a place of worship for him. You ran and built your own house first. I said, God is angry with you. And he quickly, he could not talk for some time. The line cut. I didn't know that he cut it off. He called me back later. He said, brother, he said, a young girl ran to him before the money got to him. That thus said the Lord, that God said he's going to bless you, but take care of his house first. He said, this revelation I'm telling him now is remembering it. I said, that's why God got angry and turned everything upside down for you. So many of us, that is a problem we have. Immediately you come into the ministry, what you are interested in, you lose focus of what ministry is all about. I'm talking about God, men and women that God is using. Even in this ministry, it is that same material pursuit that will make a minister begin to charge people and lying promises to collect money from people so that he can take care of one worldly thing or the other. That is the reason. That is the reason you lose your focus and make a shipwreck of your faith. It's wrong. See, this man preaching here, I have the opportunity. You cannot be pastoring this number, this size of a church, and say you cannot build a house of your own. Even if it is to build it at the Shongo, I will have built one. But I'm still living in a rented house for God's sake. Now, does it mean that it is wrong to build a house? No. But why must I build a house at the expense of the ministry? You see? Why will I collect money? Amen. All the offerings and tithes that we collect in this church, the deacons give all of us, all the ministers, all of us, we are given allowances. Including me. Praise the Lord. But I could have sat down and said all the tithes belong to the pastor. I'm not even a signatory to your account. I would have sat down. The reason is this. That is not my focus. If God is going to bless me, he will bless me. Hallelujah. It will not be me. Someday, my mind is someday. I build a house. As if I would take that house to heaven. Everything I'm doing is build my house in the village. Build my house. Until you make a shipwreck of your faith by losing focus. It's wrong. That's why Christianity is the way it is today. If I am guilty of anything, I cannot stand and preach it. That's why some things are not preached in the churches these days. Anybody that has money is a special person in the church. Irrespective whether he's a Christian or not. Once he's bringing the money, she or he, she's special, he's special. Why? Materialism. And that is exactly the problem with Christianity today. Be ready to pay the price. And church, when I say pay the price, we have a leader in this age, the man William Marion Braham. He had every opportunity to use his gift. Had every opportunity to use his gift and make all the money he could. But I remember a statement he said, rather than lower the bar of the gospel, he said he would rather eat soda cracker. Tasteless, it's given to dogs to eat. Tasteless biscuit. The cheapest biscuit. He would rather eat it than to lower the gospel so that he can have some material benefits from it. And because he took that stand, Let me read a quote for you. I copied it. Those of you who like quotes, in 1965, February, the message that he preached, titled Marriage and Divorce, February 1965. If you get that sermon, you read it. He made reference to it. I copied it. It was in a business men's meeting. This businessmen fellowship international. They invited him. He preached there. After he finished preaching, a young man, they described him there and his name, came to hug him after the meeting, to hug him. And as soon as he hugged him like this, he busted out and started speaking in tongues and was prophesying. When he finished speaking in tongues, he stopped. The man did not know what he said. There was a sister sitting by one side that said, He said, that was French, the guy has spoken. And then another man again said, that was French, that young man has spoken. Then William Brown said, wait, you write what he meant, what she was saying. You write your own, and let's compare. He wrote his own, she wrote her own. And he said, the same thing she wrote as interpretation was the same thing that man wrote. He said, while they were comparing, he said, even the punctuations were the same. He said, a man walked from the back. There was overflow, so he was sitting outside. He came again with his interpretation and said that he also heard it, that he is the French interpreter for United Nations. And then he said, this is what the man that was speaking in tongues, this is what he was saying. I wrote it, the three of them, the same thing, in the mouth of two or three, let the matter be established. And this is what they said. He said, because, to William Branham, because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the harder way. Thou hast walked in your own choosing. Thou hast picked the correct and precise decision. And it is my way. Because of this momentous decision, a huge portion of heaven will await thee. What a glorious decision thou hast made. This in itself is that which will give and make come to pass the tremendous victory in the love divine. Unquote. And very interestingly, Rick Jonah said something. I have it here. In a book, he titled The Final Quest. In page 144. The Final Quest. This is Jonah. His experience he had. And the Lord was taking him and showing him things in the spirit. This is what he said. The Lord was telling him. He said, those who will carry the truth must be true. And he said, as I was listening, I felt compelled to look up towards one of the thrones beside us. Immediately, I saw a man that I recognized. He had been a great evangelist when I was a child. And many felt that he had walked in more power than anyone since the early church. I had read about him and listened to some of his recorded messages. It was hard not to be touched by his genuine humility and the obvious love he had for the Lord and the people. Even so, I also felt that some of his teachings had gone seriously awry. I was surprised, but also relieved to see him sitting on a great throne. I was captured by the humility and love that still exuded from him. As I turned to the Lord, as I turned to the Lord to ask if I could talk to him, I could see how much the Lord obviously loved this man. However, the Lord would not permit me to speak with him, but motioned for me to continue walking. Now, this is the Lord telling him. Now, the Lord began to tell him, I just wanted you to see him here, the Lord explained, and understand the position that he has with me. There is much for you to understand about him. He was a messenger to my last day church. But the church could not hear him for reasons that you must understand in due time. He did fall into discouragement for a time, and his message was distorted. It must be recovered, as well as the path that I have given to others, which we are also distorted. That is what the Lord showed Rick Jonah in the spirit concerning William Branham, to confirm that same prophecy. Amen. Jesus himself said, enter into the straight gate. The way that leads to life, the road is rough and narrow. That means you will struggle to enter. It's a fight. Fight a good fight of faith. It involves self-denials. As the price for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't sit down and say you're a Christian. And that is all you have to say. Nothing more to show. Other than that you yourself, you are the one saying, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. I am a Christian. And those of us who find things so difficult, they will be difficult. They will be difficult. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why those who meditate, one of our hymns, in hymn number, the second stanza in hymn 196, he said, though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claim was swept away. My ambitious plans and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away. That's a testimony. Another songwriter, in another stanza of our hymn, hymn number 27, he said, faithful till death, say our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. Hallelujah. Father and Lord will know all about. Oh, Father and Lord will understand why. Cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it. Let's bow down our heads. Let's bow down our heads. It was handwriting on the wall. It was a sign.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved.
Everything we receive from God is by faith. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Truth of delusion.
They told you it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day that is His mercy is still available.
The trials of the Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God, because we are in this world, but not of this world.